So today, pay attention to when the disciples speak and when they're silent. Pay attention to what questions they don't ask, and pay attention to what they are willing to argue about. And by disciples, I do not only mean the ones that follow Jesus physically through Galilee, but the ones that follow him here, you and me, all of us. For in today's gospel, Jesus tells the central truth about himself, that he will be betrayed, that he will suffer, that he will be killed, and on the third day he will rise. He's talking about the cross. And the main thing, you might say, the main way that God brings life into our broken world. For on the cross there is love that's stronger than hate. On the cross, there's life that's stronger to death than death. On the cross, there's healing for our brokenness and forgiveness for all our sins. In the face of all evil, Jesus is telling us here, there will be life. In a short while, we'll baptize little Isla, and we will mark her with this sign of healing and life, this sign of God's goodness in our broken world. Her parents will commit to raising her following the way of the cross, living among God's faithful people, working for justice and peace in a world that is full of injustice and violence. And all of us, speaking on behalf of the whole church, will promise to help. Just as we promise to everyone baptized in this font, just as everyone who is baptized is promised in whatever local gathering they were sprinkled or dunked or poured with water, the whole church promises to help for everyone else. Yes, we will help this little one follow the way of the cross. And as we do so, we remember that in baptism, God has claimed us as children, just as God is claiming Isla for a life of sacred purpose. Excellent timing, by the way. Thank you. Just as God is promising Isla for a life of sacred purpose, dying and rising in Christ, caring for others and the world God made. Any questions? The disciples in today's story maybe had questions, maybe not. Either way, they were too afraid to ask. Maybe this news about the Son of Man being betrayed by human hands and being killed and rising again from the death felt all too big and too unreal to talk about. Maybe the idea of life in the face of death was so strange that they didn't know what to say next. Maybe the idea of the cross was too scary. Or maybe it just seemed like Jesus' thing alone, and they weren't sure how they were supposed to fit into the larger picture. As we look back on the story, it seems as though Jesus was trying to tell them about a gigantic, life-changing event on the horizon. The kind of crisis, you might say, that would demand the best of their courage, their creativity, their leadership, their faithfulness. But instead of any of those things, instead of courage and creativity and leadership and faithfulness, the disciples are silent. Until they get going, of course. Until they start walking. And then on the way, they bicker about something else entirely. They're squabbling a soundtrack for the journey until Jesus gathers them all around like a wise and all-knowing preschool teacher. What were you talking about on the way? He asked. Pay attention to what the disciples say and what they don't say. Pay attention to what they ask and what they don't ask. What were you talking about? Jesus asks. And they're silent because they've been arguing about who was the greatest. The greatest what? Mark doesn't say. The greatest disciple? The one who'd followed Jesus the longest? Maybe. The one who'd memorized the most of Jesus' words? Or was it a greatest something else? Like the one who caught the biggest fish, since most of them were fishermen? The one who'd thrown the best parties back in Nazareth? The one who was the most worthy of Jesus' attention? Heck, for all we know, they were trying to figure out who had the greatest discomfort and who could claim the most time on the next agenda of the staff meeting. Who deserved to be first in line as Jesus worked their problems out? There are lots of ways, you see, that we human beings argue about who is the greatest and who needs matter most and what should be done about it. I mean, we're not usually that conscious of arguing about who is the greatest. Our strategies of self-focus usually have more subtle rationalizations. Our means of self-deception are very practiced. They're almost hidden. Until Scripture comes and cuts through the clutter. When do we speak and when are we silent? Do we spend time asking God what the cross means for us or not understanding? Do we press on with whatever was bugging us anyway? What do we talk about? What questions do we ask or not? The good news is that Jesus also cuts through the clutter, cuts through our strategies of rationalization and self-deception with some good news. The good news at the end of the day is that he actually does not want us to be caught in our mind's trickery and doesn't want us to be caught in petty conversations about who is the greatest. He doesn't want his disciples to be arguing about who is first in the rat race because God does not want us for rats. Rather, he wants us as people who will receive him and welcome him, who will recognize his face in others. He wants us not only to be people who've been saved by the cross, but who see it as the way of life they are to follow. Listen, he says, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And to demonstrate the point, he takes a child, gives it a hug, and puts it in their midst. It's an interesting illustration. Because welcoming children requires work. They start out needing help with everything from feeding to dressing to blowing their noses. Am I right? They cry about things that seem silly to adults. And they wiggle when adults would prefer stillness. And so caring for them truly requires an other focus. But to this work, Jesus adds a promise. Whoever does it, whoever serves, whoever welcomes, welcomes me, Jesus says. And whoever welcomes me not only welcomes me, but the one who sent me. In this way, Jesus commits himself by a promise to our life here. The life that's offered to us on the cross, the life that burst forth from the tomb, is as close to us as a child that is needing care. Or it is as close to us as anyone is, we might say, who's in need of welcome and service. Jesus here is not a mystery. He is here in the face of Little Isle of Grace. And we don't need to do gymnastic feats of meditation and prayer in order to follow the way of the cross. Its path will open to us in the face of our neighbors. Children, for sure. Strangers hoping to make friends. Refugees seeking assistance. Older folks whose memories have gone and who need help with everything, like children once again. Generation to generation, the church has done these kinds of ministries. And in doing them, we discover that the risen Jesus was here all along. Because while we get distracted from the path of love and service, he never does. Jesus talked about this path, and the disciples didn't ask any questions. But I wonder, in our own time, the struggles of which demand the best of our creativity and our courage and our leadership and our faithfulness. In this time in which the sign of the cross is everywhere, as we struggle through this pandemic, as we struggle with one another, as we struggle to figure out how just to live today, I wonder if in placing a child in their midst, Jesus didn't give his disciples something good to talk about. If Jesus didn't give us all a good question to ask. Lord Jesus, whom can we serve today? Amen.